Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good. Good.
Great.
He said, good. For the season of Lent, gentlemen, we've been studying the Gospel of Mark. And for our Word Made Flesh, we've been sharing some of our reflections on that Gospel of Mark. It being the Gospel for lectionary readings. However, this being the third Sunday of Lent, today's lectionary reading comes from the second chapter of John's Gospel. Which is good, because I think sometimes if we don't interject John once in a while, we will discover that sometimes we think Jesus' ministry was just limited to that 1 year. Now, the only time he was in Jerusalem was for his passion and his crucifixion and his resurrection, right? But not so much in John. Right? So we want to look at chapter 2. It's about the cleansing of the temple. I think it begins at verse 13 through 22. Chapter 2, verse 13 through 22 in John's Gospel. Can I get a reader?
When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple's courts. Both sheep and cattle, he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jewish then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right, John, initial responses. What kind of jumps out at you? I would preface this by saying that, go ahead. Let's just start with what's your response. All right, we don't all have to speak at the same time.
Well, I can take this as a symbolism. The teachers of the law, they were turning the temple into a market, and it says through scripture that our bodies and our lives, we are God's temple. And I see this. Why we're here is we were in our own different ways turning God's temple into a market, and just like selling pretty much ourselves to our fleeting pleasures and like all these things, that turning away from God, and now we have to let Jesus destroy this temple and raise it again.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful insight, I think. Very good, very good. I'll touch on that in a second. Anybody else? What jumped out at you?
This, to me, I always jumps out, or I look at it based on like a retrospective. Thinking. So reading it the first time, I saw he just upset at these guys because whatever, but having a better understanding, I know that he's in there saying, all right, to be teachers of the law is one thing, but to try and keep the law for yourself is different. So we're supposed to teach the law. We're supposed to understand why we follow the law. It's not about the law. So it's not to completely disregard them kind of thing, right? But that's what they're doing. They're taking it in their own hands. They're making it their law. instead of God's law that they're supposed to teach. We are supposed to follow the rules. We are supposed to follow, but there's a reason for that. It's not about the rule. Who we are says that we follow the rules. It's not about the rules. And that's what the song, and he's like, look, you guys got it all wrong. You're so caught up in yourselves. You're worried about keeping this, whatever you're doing, going, that you're going to get everything you can out of it, just so the law stays in place.
Mm-hmm. I'll interject this. Interesting enough, on this third Sunday of Lent, the Old Testament reading for today, not a lectionary, would be the Ten Commandments.
The law.
But I think you're right. Nowhere is God just looking for mere compliance with the rules or the law. You know, God wants a relationship. In the relationship, you will fulfill, right? Through obedience, you fulfill the law.
So, you don't manipulate and take advantage, and that's what's happening. So it weren't getting enough. It was almost, to me, just from other aspects of it, it was like a segregation thing. We're going to be exempt, and we're going to hold you to a higher standard. Your sacrifice isn't good enough. The one we have is, so you must buy this sacrifice because it's our law.
Yeah. All right. Next, initial comment.
I would say that it was important for them to have a temple. I mean, that's part of their identity. And they spent 46 years building it, they said. But then it just becomes a marketplace. I mean, it won't take very long just to build a marketplace, I want to imagine. So something that was supposed to be so sacred and holy, and for them to get close to God, to it turns into something so commonplace. So sometimes in our lives, the things that are supposed to be most holy, we don't really see as holy anymore. Just as part of our regular life or a way to, conduct life.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Anybody else? Well, then think about this. I mean, when I read this, a couple of things jump out. This is chapter 2 of John's Gospel. If you read the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all right, this event happens during Holy Week. It's kind of like in the synoptics, this is the final straw, all right, to where they decided he's got to die. Right? But not in John. This is at the very beginning. It's chapter 2. Right? Because John has Jesus bouncing in and out of Jerusalem several times. Right? So it's one of the reasons that separates John from the synoptics. So I find that interesting. Here it is in chapter 2. Right? And you're not going to make sense of this until after I'm gone. Right? But he's cleaning house in chapter 2. I like what you said, Mark, about our bodies being temples and how much time and energy and effort do we put in trying to utilize our bodies as marketplaces, all right? Engaging in the way of the world. Because the other thing that jumps out to me in this pericope is that they are so, as Randy said, so engaged in what's become the new norm in the temple area, and that new norm being normal, right, has almost pushed them so far away from their relationship with God that they don't even realize it. So maybe what I'd like to invite you to do is to share a little feedback on scrutinizing your own life as the temple, right? And how it has become a marketplace. Right? To what level have you allowed the way of the world, right, to become your new norm, and how does that impact your relationship with Christ? Right. Any thoughts?
Well, it's easy to let these let your daily duties kind of take. You focus like totally on the routine, you get up, you gotta make breakfast, you gotta clean up after breakfast, and you got your meditations, and you gotta go out and go to the store, you go to the pantry or whatever, and it all gets to be kind of compartmentalized, you know, the work and the walk. And it's then you start wanting to like root yourself to death on the side, because it feels like you're just taking your eyes off the cross and just doing this to get done. And that's what I've been struggling with is like the meditations and the Bible studies. Maybe it's not enough. I'm just not praying enough by myself to do it. So I just gotta work all extra hard, and that doesn't work either. So, well, what I've recently is just I gotta stop compartmentalizing it, stop separating it. Instead of the work, have a walk. The work is the walk.
The walk is the work. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. Yeah, when we start understanding that even in here, Neighbors of Hope, you know, meal preparation is a sacred act. Where does the food come from? It comes from God's creation. So we've been entrusted with the fruits of God's creation to help nourish those, our guests, as well as ourselves. That preparation then makes it a sacred act. Right? When we engage in the ministry of feeding the hungry in this area, not only is that a prophetic act, meaning that it denounces the injustice that we have hungry people while announcing hope, but it too is a sacred act. Right? We're caring for God's creation. All aspects of this ministry kind of at least strives to do that. So then when you think about it, if you're residing here 24/7, right, if you change your perspective, you may realize that everything that I'm doing is really engaging in the sacred. Right? But let's be honest, I mean, would you not agree how quickly we can kind of forget that? Right. You said yes. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
Can you expound on that?
Yeah, it is kind of easy to get caught up in the task that you're doing at that moment without necessarily thinking about why you're doing it and that you're doing that for God, you know?
Yeah, Brother Lawrence once wrote a book. He was an uneducated man, but, you know, got engaged in the monastery, and really out of his writings came this little book, Practicing the Presence of God. And so he spent a lot of his time on KP, you know, he had kitchen duty. But he would talk about washing potatoes, right? Was an engaging act with God. Where'd the potato come from? I have in my hand something God gave me. Well, what do you do with it? Well, I'm going to make sure it's clean, right? I mean, if we start changing our perspective to like toward that, then we start realizing pretty much everything we're doing is in the sacred. Other thoughts?
And verse 17, well, actually right after he said, get these out of here, stop turning my father's house into a market, his disciples remember that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. And it's from Psalm 69, and it's verse 9. But the beginning of that psalm says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. And because the way I grew up, and the way I think based on the strictly consumeristic mindset that I'm taught, is the things that are important to me are the things I can buy, the things that I have, my job, all these things.
All right, gentlemen, well, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and, of course, our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.